He's sending the border czar to Minnesota. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. President Trump posted that on Truth Social this morning, calling Tom Holman tough but fair as the anti-ICE protests rage on. Upset over Saturday's deadly shooting of a protester as they demonstrate outside hotels ICE agents stay at.
This latest riot happened last night at a Minneapolis Hilton. Protesters banged on trash cans, slammed snow shovels, blew whistles, and tried to force their way in.
Fox's Matt Finn in Minneapolis.
A federal judge ruled the Trump administration could not destroy any evidence from its investigation into Preddy's shooting death. There's a hearing today where the Trump-appointed judge may extend the temporary restraining order. And Fox's Bill Malusian reports multiple federal sources say there is intense frustration within DHS about the initial messaging given to the public about the Alex Preddy shooting, implying Preddy was trying to do maximum damage or massacre people.
Fox's Aisha Hosni reports from the White House.
The president so far has declined to say whether CBP acted appropriately in this shooting, telling the Wall Street Journal, quote, we're looking, we're reviewing everything.
Israel has recovered the last dead hostage from Gaza.
842 days after being killed by Hamas and his body taken to Gaza, Ran Gavili's remains can finally go home. They were found after what the Israeli military called a large-scale security operation in the north of the Gaza Strip. The return of all remaining hostages, living and dead, was a key demand of part one of the U.S.-brokered ceasefire deal that ended the war.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. There's a lot of snow to shovel from the storm that dumped over a foot in 13 states.
Schools are having a traditional, an old-fashioned snow day.
That's New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill. Schools are closed New Mexico to New England. It's also icy in many areas. More than 800,000 power outages still, and nearly 4,000 more flights canceled today. America's listening to Fox News.
This President's Day, Pure Talk is honoring Jackson and Lincoln by offering unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month. Meanwhile, Big Wireless is honoring Ben Franklin by charging families hundreds of dollars for the same 5G coverage. What? Franklin wasn't even a president. Hang on to those Benjamins. Dial pound 250, say micro, and save 50% off your first month. That's pound 250, micro, to switch to an American wireless company that's truly unprecedented. Pure Talk.
Hey, I'm Mike Slater. My dad passed away at the age of 63. He's out of nowhere. Had a stroke. Super hard, obviously, for the whole family, but my dad had life insurance. This is why I have life insurance for my family, for my wife and four kids. And the best place to get life insurance is ethos.com, because you can do it in 10 minutes. And there's no medical exam and no blood test, just a few health questions. Get life insurance in 10 minutes so your family is protected. Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos.com/...
From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Madeline Murray. Locals and winter visitors attended Yuma Ag Fest 2026 Saturday afternoon. The annual event took place in downtown Yuma at 1 p.m. and featured a variety of live entertainment, music, food, and drink vendors. Plus, another event gathering the community Saturday morning. Locals across Yuma County participated in the Celebrate Life 5K Color Run. The event took place at West Wetlands Park at 10 a.m. and featured live music, food trucks, and vendors, and more. All proceeds from the event will support New Life Pregnancy Center. The first 100 participants also received a free t-shirt. The event lasted until noon. Catch us on the TV side on News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 p.m. for your latest local news, weather, and sports.
71 and cloudy on Monday. Northeast winds at 10 to 15, partly cloudy and 45 Monday night. Sunny and 74 on Tuesday.
Hi, this is John Patch, national host of Talkin' Pets with your Pet Minute. Do you have a pet rabbit? Well, if you do, fresh, raw veggies, especially moist greens, aid in keeping a rabbit's intestines well hydrated. Most any green leafy vegetable or herb, with the exception of pennyroyal, are good choices, but see what your bunny likes best. You can actually feed them some yummy treats like alfalfa sprouts, basil, carrot tops, cilantro, clover and clover sprouts, dandelion greens, endive, escarole, green or red leaf lettuce, green peppers, mint leaves, parsley, pea pods, also radish tops or sprouts, romaine lettuce, watercress, and wheatcress. But keep them away from just regular lettuce because it contains too much water. Check out more pet information at TalkinPets.com and on social media at Talkin' Pets Radio. Hi friends, this is John Patch. As host of Talkin' Pets, I get asked all the time if I know of a pet odor eliminator product that actually does work. The answer to that is yes. It's called SCOE 10X. And that's SCOE 10X, the best odor eliminator product made. And you know why? Because SCOE 10X actually eliminates bad pet odor like urine, feces, vomit, even skunk odor is eliminated. And it's a 100% money-back guarantee. SCOE 10X doesn't mask or cover odor with heavy fragrances. SCOE 10X is fragrance-free. SCOE 10X is completely non-toxic and hypoallergenic. It is so safe you can use it directly on your pet, your own skin, or plants. Read hundreds and hundreds of actual customer success stories at SCOE10X.com. And since SCOE 10X can only be purchased at SCOE10X.com, once you're done reading all those great reviews, get your own bottle of SCOE 10X today. Take it from me, John Patch. Use SCOE 10X, a pet odor eliminator product that actually works.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Okay, gentlemen, so today, this is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to give you a little background. I was enjoying my holiday. This was the night, what do you call that? New Year's Eve, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I get a phone call from Josh Pimbleton. We interviewed him before on our show.
Pimbleton?
Yeah. Okay. He owns Bravo 6 out in the foothills here by 4th Ave Gym. Super awesome guy. He's a former Green Beret.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. He's awesome. And so I get this phone call. I'm walking out the door to go to that, you know, the block party that you guys were having for New Year's Eve, loading up my fireworks that
we got in trouble for.
That I got in trouble for, yeah,
right.
Briefly. And I see Josh is calling me, and I'm like, that's, you know, weird. So I answer immediately because I'm like, I need to make sure that everything's okay. And he's like, Adam, there's this really interesting guy that walked into my shop today. And he's been walking from the north of Canada all the way down to the bottom of the United States. And I just think he's got the craziest stories. And I thought he'd be awesome for your podcast. Is there any way you could get him on? He's just passing through Yuma, and he came to my shop and picked some stuff up. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. You know, From my understanding, it was like a 3-minute conversation. I'm on my way out the door. I felt like I was... I wanted to do, you know, Josh a favor, or not even do Josh a favor, but like, you know, show that like I value our relationship and I want to drop everything and do this for you. I'm going to introduce you to Marcus Jefferson. That's his name. So what I want to do is we're going to watch the interview and you are free to make commentary all you want. My understanding of Marcus.
Do we watch the full portion or do we stop it in between?
You can stop it if you want.
Okay.
Tom's got the keyboard over there. He can push the space bar.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm interested to see your guys' take on this.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so we're talking with Marcus Jefferson. Marcus, you've been doing this a long time where you're rucking across not only Canada, but the United States. You've made it to Yuma, Arizona with a mission to keep going. You're going to arrive to San Diego, I'm guessing?
Well, San Diego, I got to get to Honolulu. That'll be the most eastern point in America, right?
Yeah, so... Why are you doing all this?
So I'm raising awareness for mental health, and you know, I wanted to make a difference within our communities. I'm trying to lead by example, showing good within our communities, and yeah, I wanted to share my testimony of faith, wanted to share my story, and try to break the stigma behind mental health.
So why mental health? Why is this such an important thing to you that you're like, I'm going to walk 27,000 kilometers to raise awareness for mental health?
Yeah. So I had my snap at 30, around 30. I had my own mental health crisis. Didn't really realize it was a real thing. And so, you know, you're talking back from trauma, childhood abuse, all this kind of stuff. And I looked at everything and I'm like, man, I started thinking about what my parents had gone through, you know, and then what their parents had gone through. So we have that generational curse that's passed down one person to the next person to the next person.
Yeah.
So I wanted to try to get out there and show people like this is a real thing.
And so you grew up, I think I could say this, in a broken home environment. Would that be accurate?
Correct. Yeah.
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 And you mentioned before that you grew up in a white house.
Yeah.
And you were literally the black sheep in that white house.
Legitimately the
black sheep. Because your dad is black. Your mom is white. Correct. But your dad really wasn't in your life. Is that what you were saying?
Neither of them were in my life, technically.
Either of them. Oh, okay. Mom and dad.
Yeah. You don't have to be there physically to be there. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Grew up on my own.
Was religion in your house?
Never apart. No.
Really?
Yeah. Never apart.
And so in school, what were you, I mean, you were, this is in Canada, and you mentioned before that segregation laws really didn't go away until like 1984.
The last segregated school, I believe, in Canada was 1984. Yeah.
So, that's crazy. Yeah,
racism was a huge thing back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're the only black kid in this predominantly white school.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there was no other ones that I went to school with. They didn't show up until a little bit later on. Yeah. Yeah. I remember the first one that come in. I was like, oh my God. She was a girl too. I was like, oh, I picked my tray up. I went and sat by her and that was more awkward than. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are you doing,
yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Did you ever feel that though? Did you ever feel any tinges of racism or did you not really notice anything going on?
The first boat. Yeah. Was my teacher, Madame Parsons. Yeah. So when I was in Calgary, I had an all French school, where I was at the section. So my first language was French. That's what I was taught.
Okay.
And then, so when I switched from there to Kingsville, Ontario, I was put in the school and I had to learn English. And the class that I was failing was French.
Mm.
It was grade 5, somewhere around there. And that was the first time that I would all go on record and say my first, probably, and the only time my mother ever defended me was she went to the school on a parent teacher night and was like, how is my son failing French? All his work is perfect. He brings it home. She's like, I'm not understanding. And the teacher didn't know that my first language was French. My work was actually better than hers.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was my bout to understanding, like, you know, the kids were hazing me a bit right around then, but I still didn't grasp the concept of racism and why I was in so much trouble all the time until that teacher. And that changed my life.
Wow.
Forever.
In what way?
Because that's an authoritative figure.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can't trust authority.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So you had a chip on your shoulder, you'd say, from then on.
That I didn't really realize yet. Yeah. So that took a lot of self-reflection to understand.
Years
that.
Later.
Yeah. Because as a kid, you don't know that you're harboring that, right? So this is that meant you're being molded at that point in time. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So.
So how old were you when that happened? Ish.
I think probably around 10.
Man, wow.
Maybe around there. Okay. I think that's both.
So you still have a lot more school to go.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
You got eight more years at least of school.
Yeah.
No. And did it get any better from there?
No, it got worse.
Really?
Yeah. So from there, so grade 6 was fighting all the time with kids because now, you know, racism was a real thing. And it was taking on a lot of that. At the time, racism was big. And then, so they switched me from, I was in so much trouble, they wanted me out of the school. And then, so they labeled me as the problem. So they put me in a behavioral educational program at another school. Well, it's not all the other white kids that are making fun of you. You're the problem.
Yeah.
So now I'm in a class where kids are smashing their head off the desk, screaming, running around. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then I missed an entire year in grade 7. So they put me back in my original grade. And then from there, I went into high school. I was strip searched.
Wow.
And held captive in a room where one gay teacher. He's known. I can say names, right? Yeah.
There's a pecking order.
In the prison system here in the San Luis prison, it is specifically divided by race. And there are different facilities. So
the government does that, or they naturally do
it
that?
It depends on the facility, actually. So there's 6 facilities out there at the San Luis prison. And some facilities are specific. Like, they will not put you with somebody of another race. Mm. And it would cause riots if they did. In other facilities, you can opt into being placed with somebody with another race. It's going to be a special circumstance. So the rule of thumb is you do not associate, or at least get bunked with, or put on the same floor as with somebody with a different race. It's racially segregated. And that's just the prison system. Now, that's not through the United States, is what I understand. There's prisoners that have been in prisons from the East, and they say that we're kind of stuck in this time warp where we're still back in the 60s here in Arizona and California. Mm-hmm. You would think that wouldn't be the case. You'd think in the East that would be, or the South especially, that would be more the case. But no, here in Arizona, California, there's a lot of racial issues, and books that I've read on it too reaffirm that this is true. But I mean, I go there. When I'm there personally, I don't see it happening, just because when you're in a social setting like a Sunday school class that I teach, they open up and they're there specifically to kind of bridge that gap, but they acknowledge that it exists very specifically. Like, for example, if somebody were to get into a fight in the yard, and there was a Hispanic and a white person, and you were Hispanic and you did not join in and defend the Hispanic person, then you would be punished afterwards, and there would be a price to pay.
Interesting. So. Mm. Interesting.
All right. Continue on here.
Bonnie. And then I believe the other one was McDonald, where they trapped us in a room, locked the door. We bent over, spread our cheeks while they conducted a nice, thorough anal cavity search.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Is that school?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, right in Ontario, Canada, Kingsville District High School. And so they did that, and that caused severe outrage. And then, so I'm the only black, really one of two or three kids in the entire community that are black. And from there, you know, so now I was labeled the cause to why kids got their stuff strip searched, right? And so the parents blamed me. There was, you know, went through that. They left me in that school, so
you had to deal with that every day.
Yeah, so I was fighting, got real good at fighting and survival, and there's times where I thought I was gonna die.
Where's mom at this time, like when you're going through this kind of stuff?
She was a waitress at the time. She must have taken a lot of flack too, because, you know, all the comments and stuff, and working in the diner in small town, right? And so people are probably saying a lot of stuff. I just remember her being so disgusted in me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think she got flack for having a relationship with your dad? Being white and him being black? Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah. So there's things. So I'll never know the truth, but the way I was, what I was told was, you know, I was definitely an unwanted child. And she did tell me that, you know, herself, like, that, you know, there was definitely that resentment there for that end, and I never got his side of the story, so I don't know. So yeah. I'll never know the truth. So this is what we call the generational curse.
Yeah. Did your grandparents embrace you on your mom's side?
Oh, my grandmother was amazing. That was about the only person in my life that loved me. Yeah, I could say that, actually truly loved me. So she passed away from breast cancer. So So high school was brutally rough, and it was a rough go in high school. Yeah.
But you made it through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barely. Did you play sports or anything like that?
Played everything when I was allowed to be on the team. Played every sport. I was always good. I was always a stud with what I did. But I strived at mechanical. So I was a mechanic, and I learned how to, I was rebuilding motors by the time I was like 14 years old. So I strived at that, got an OYAP program brought to the Kingsville District High School, and just yeah, it was a struggle and a half getting through all this stuff. And so I ended up graduating a year early because I had done the OYAP program as a Ontario Youth Apprenticeship Program. And but I just didn't have the proper guidance, and I got a scholarship to go to college for mechanics.
Very cool.
But nobody ever pushed me towards that. So I ended up taking college course for police foundations.
What do you think drove you at the time? It sounds like you kind of have this this underdog mentality that you are at this time in your life determined to overcome. You know, nothing can get in your way.
Yeah.
And in fact, when something tries to, like authority figures, you're like, nah, I'm not going to let that happen.
Say it again. Yeah. Say it again. Yeah.
I would say what I hear you to say is like you were confronted with obstacle after obstacle.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was like not even self-imposed. It was just people getting in your way.
Yeah.
But you rose to the occasion. I'm asking, what was your mentality back then? It sounds to me like it was more like, you're not going to tell me what to do, or you can't, you know, push me down. I'm going to rise above and show you.
Yeah. So I always had that willpower in me to want to succeed. And it wasn't because I wanted to show other people. That was just an internal fire that I just didn't realize. And it was just wanting to survive and keep going. And you've been through so much in high school, and I just didn't want to give up, I guess.
Yeah.
So I had that never quit attitude, and I continued forward and just, yeah, it was, I didn't realize that I was always wanting to succeed. So, right. But I did label myself as a failure all the time. But
oh, you did.
Yeah.
So you're hard on yourself.
Super hard on myself.
It's hard not to be when everybody's telling you you're,
sure,
you're worthless, you're nothing.
Sure. Yeah.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
Hey, y'all, mark your calendar and get ready to experience the flavors and fun of New Orleans right here in Yuma. Alexander Toyota, Burgers and Beer, Carnes Law, and Fort Yuma Rotary presents Yuma's Favorite, Mardi Gras on Main, Friday, February 13th from 5 to 11 p.m. with Eric Sage's Ultimate Rock Show and lots of vendors. So grab y'all's beads and head out to Main Street. It's Mardi Gras time. All proceeds raised help Fort Yuma Rotary's community projects.
Also brought to you in part by Shea Oil, Yuma Catholic High School, Yuma Electric, Southwest Advisory Group, and Eldorado Broadcasters.
Are you looking for a new car? Well, we don't have it. How about a new cell phone? Don't have that either. At Firearms Unknown, we don't mix what we don't know with what we do know. We know firearms, knives, and ammo. So, if you know what you want, or even if you don't, Firearms Unknown can get you what you need. We have rifle, pistol, and shotgun deals starting at $9.99 for all three. Deals on guns and ammo, and the largest knife section around. With the knowledge to set you up right. Firearms Unknown, 801 West 32nd Street, or firearmsunknown.com. Now you know.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Can we take a quick break? And just, he is incredibly well-spoken, right? He doesn't take unnecessary pauses. He doesn't use filler words. It seems like he doesn't have to struggle for the vocabulary that he needs to explain what he's trying to get out. I don't know where he got that. I don't know what his other background is. I suppose we're going to get there, but very well educated, if not socially integrated. So he's been able to accomplish quite a bit, regardless of his background. I wonder, did you find out what it was that helped him develop those skills?
No.
Because it seems like a social outcast might be a little bit more hesitant to be able to get to the right word or express the feeling. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's had a lot of interviews like this. Did you get the sense that a lot of people have approached him about his mission, and he's been somewhat of a star in his activism?
Not to my understanding. So my understanding was this is maybe the second podcast he's done, or maybe the first.
Hmm.
He mentioned an interview before that he had, but it wasn't a podcast. It was I think for the newspaper or something.
Because he comes across like an actor almost, like posh, like very polished. He reminds me of some type of like a mix between Denzel Washington and Vin Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, he's a handsome guy. He's well-groomed. He's cut, fit, and well-spoken. I would say that for for being black. He's not, I wouldn't notice he's a black person if I were just to look at him. I wouldn't know what ethnicity he is. Obviously, he's not 100% white or, what do we even call it, Caucasian. But he could pass for Mexican or maybe Middle Eastern.
I think Vin Diesel's a really accurate description.
Right?
Yeah, when you think
even his voice.
It. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll probably get into him. Are we going to get into his, like, military career?
I think so. It's coming.
Oh,
naturally.
Maybe that's...
I actually haven't seen this, so...
Okay, I think
I mean, I did it, but I haven't seen it on film.
So I wanted to point that out, that's unique, that he's so well-polished in how he speaks and how he holds himself. I mean, even just the way he sits there, and he's a handsome guy. So I'm thinking, if I had the physical characteristics and even the I don't think I have the polish and mannerism of speaking that he has, I'd have a big step up. I'd like to know what he did to get that. Mm-hmm. Number two, I grew up in northern Idaho, so I was next to the Canadian border. It was the opposite side of the United States. You know, he was on the eastern coast and I was on the western coast, but we also only had one black kid in the school. And it wasn't because of segregation. It's just because there was one black family in northern Idaho, and there was one high school to go to, and so there you go. It wasn't because there was a black high school and a white high school, and that was the first person that we picked out of the black high school to integrate with the white high school like it happened in the South. Mm-hmm. It was you just happened to be the only family that was black. Now, in our school, in our situation, that person, it was a girl. She was beautiful. And very popular, probably the most popular in school. And I didn't hear anything from what he said about other black schools. And he was plucked out of one of those schools and integrated into this white school and therefore ending segregation. He may have perceived it that way because he was the only black person, but it could have been just because of demographics, not anything to do with the policies of the school.
Yeah, and I don't think he was saying that it was a segregation situation for him because he was born after that ended, I think, right?
He said like 84.
84. Yeah. I think he was born a little bit after, like maybe one or 2 years after segregation. Yeah.
Surely
ended.
Attended high school after it was done.
Yeah, I think it's more the situation you described. You know, it just happened to be demographics in that particular town.
And even though it ends by law, you know, it takes a while for, like you're saying, like social demographics to start to meld together.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah, I wonder because of his, unless there was a population of black individuals in the town that he was going to, and he was chosen to go to this school, and other people that, you know, because of their race were not, then I don't think it had to do anything with segregation. It just maybe that overtone flooded into the narrative a little bit that this was racism as opposed to this just happened to be a black kid in a white school and he felt out of place because he looks a little different. And they may have felt just out of place too. They may have felt a little bit intimidated because, like, I think I would feel intimidated in his presence. He's a very well-mannered, well-built, self-confident individual. And I don't think it would be considered racism for me to be self-conscious,
mm-hmm.
right?
Uh-huh.
It's just he's brings about that type of mannerism. Anyway.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know when he felt like he got that. Did he always have this personality where he's exuding this confidence, or does that come through his accomplishments? Maybe a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like there's some stuff you're born with that you really can't learn, and there's other stuff that you can pick up, mm-hmm. and maybe some stuff in the middle where you have it in you, but it needs to be brought to the surface.
Sure.
So who knows? But maybe we'll get there. Keep going.
Right. But I guess that kind of builds that resiliency in you, and if you want to break or not.
Did you leave the house at some point because you just felt unwanted? Or were you forced to leave? What happened there?
Yeah, I don't know. In order to understand that, I'd have to tell the entire story.
Okay.
Yeah, small bits like that. Because this is just kind of like just hearsay stuff, I guess you can say. Like just from my own experiences, I would have to actually have a full on book to make it all make sense. But yeah.
Suffice it to say,
yeah,
you left the house at about 14.
14, yeah.
Where'd you go? I mean, if you're not going home every day.
14, I was in and out of the house, living in the park.
Wow.
Yeah, I had gotten a vehicle at one point, living in that. And then it was sporadic. Yeah, I was all over the place. And then
really?
Sometimes back in the house, you know, it's so. And then, yeah, it's a long, long story. You know, my step-parents broke up, and then
I
ended up staying with my stepdad for a little bit, which he didn't like me, and maybe he felt like there was an obligation there because I had been with him since young, like six years old, right? So
he was kind of like he was the father figure. In your
he
life.
Would be the only thing that I would know as a father figure, but yeah, so.
is grandma around at this time, or is she?
No, they're all up in Chatham.
She lives away.
Yeah, they're all in Chatham, yeah, so family was all scattered all over.
She wasn't necessarily there to step in and help, huh?
No, unfortunately.
Physically.
Yeah, unfortunately. And she was like the nucleus of the family, right? That was when she died, the entire family just broke up.
So, I see.
Yeah.
So you were able to make it through somehow. You got through high school.
Yeah.
You got the scholarship. You went off to college.
I didn't take the scholarship, no.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Okay. So I got out of high school and then got out of high school, working in the bars, odd jobs here and there. And then I ended up putting myself through college. Well, it's living up in Windsor for Police Foundations, which is where I graduated with honors and distinctions. And then I was trying to get onto the police force. And I was, I always lived that questionable life. I was always never in trouble, but like
on the
criminally, but I was always butting heads with the police and things that. Or I was always on the radar. It's hard not to be when you're the minority in the, you know what I mean? So,
and so you thought it'd be a good idea to go and become a policeman.
Yeah, well, I had the sense of wanting to serve.
I see.
Right? So I had so much bad happen to me as a kid and all this abuse and stuff, and I just didn't want to ever see anybody get hurt like I did. And so I had this sense of wanting to protect all the time.
Yeah.
And what better way to do that by putting on a uniform that's meant to serve and protect, right?
Yeah, so you made it through that as well, huh?
Yeah.
With honors, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So you graduate all that with honors. Then what happens? You try to get onto the police force somewhere?
Yeah, did a few things. Peel Regional was one, but they deemed me non-competitive. I had gotten onto the auxiliary with the OPP. I did that. And I was trying to do the military at the same time, but I screwed up the test. They were the circle sheets. So the answers and the questions, and I must have been one off on them all.
I see.
That up. And then, so I did that. And then, just always bouncing around from job to job. And I just, maybe the universe was just always pulling me towards going into the Legion. I don't know what it was, but I didn't get the chance to get on fully as a constable. And, but I never gave up wanting to wear that uniform. I always wanted to be in the military.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't happen until I was older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that moment came around, early 30s?
34.
When I hit rock bottom, is that what I understand?
Yeah, 30 was when I hit rock bottom, yeah.
Till then, you're bouncing around, kind of odd jobs here and there.
Yeah, working in the oil fields, mechanic, security, you know, things like that. And then from 30 to 33 was my, like, downward spiral. And you could do a lot of damage in 3 years. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But somehow you acquired a sweet vehicle, right?
Yeah.
At this time?
I had always been in the cars. I had my Camaro, my 1980 Camaro, my Zed. So that was my pride and joy.
He has Vin Diesel.
In that car.
Yeah. All right.
My uncle, that was my passion in life was drag racing. That was my passion. So, God will guide you into the things that you love and what you resonate with. And that was one of them, sports and that. And then so my Camaro, I had my WS6 Trans Am. It was another baby of mine, and then my Corvette that I had gotten in Alberta, but I didn't realize I was a mental wreck, right? I never got to enjoy any of that stuff. Not like if I had it now, I would cherish that stuff, right?
But you said something that I didn't know before when we were talking. You mentioned a fiance.
Yeah.
So there's a girl somewhere in your life. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the time, huh?
I always got the ones I wanted. It just took some time. I chased that. I chased the fiance one for years and years, but you resonate what you are at the time. So my energy was I was attracting just not the good things, man. Mm-hmm. Not the one I needed.
Yeah, sure.
So, because I just wasn't who I needed at the time, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, so... You know, I guess that's the French Foreign Legion story, right?
Yeah.
Turn me down, I'll sure the French Foreign Legion will welcome me with open arms.
There you go.
So, yeah, God bless the Legion.
So you've got this awesome car.
Yeah.
But you're taking it around to car shows?
Yeah, so the Corvette was about the last thing that I loved, and I was really trying to get onto that. I injured myself in the gym. I was trying to make a comeback, trying to get my pro card, and then life was falling apart, and, you know, partying started moving into coping. Right. And then so the car, it's like, man, what makes me feel good? So I started really had built my motor for my car in there and everything. And then I took it to a car show, and that's where I had my first come to Jesus moment, I guess you can say. And, you know, that's where I met the pastor. He come out and he's like, you got a sweet ride. I'm like, yeah, it is pretty sweet. And he's like,
you're like, I know.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no, oh, no ego, no ego. And then he's like, man, I feel like you should come sit in a sermon. He's like, I feel like God's telling you that. And that's where I was really, really hesitant at the time. And I told him, I was like, I walk through those doors, pastor, I'm gonna burn your church down. You don't want me going in there. And so I did, and my boys were just like, are you serious? And I come out of there, man, and my life changed. And
so something in that sermon, what's interesting to me is that you actually went, though. Something he said, something must have touched you.
Maybe it was a challenge, could have been a challenge, but maybe it was, I think I knew where I was heading, and I already knew this. I was searching for something, and I was searching it for immaterial things at the time. And God will work in weird ways, man.
Yeah.
He want you there, you know. Some people he'll, you know, you keep fighting him, and he wants you to come. Mm-hmm. You know, some people he'll send you to wherever. It's just he'll bring you. Yeah, and then he got me at the car show. But I'm stubborn, and I continued to tear down my life until about 33, and that's when I decided to go to the Legion.
Yeah,
yeah,
which is crazy because you're pretty old at that time for military service. I mean,
yeah, you're an old man for sure. Yeah,
in the U.S. I mean. You're typically going into like 18, 19.
Yeah, that's right. Right? Yeah.
And you're viewed at 30, 33. You're like, it's too late. You're an old dog at that point.
Yeah.
No, you're not, but.
No, well, 33, I was an old dog because I wasn't trained. I was relying on my old.
Your natural.
My natural ability. Yeah. I could always. I didn't have to train for. I was always naturally gifted in athletics. And so I relied on that. When I went to the Legion, I was like, mm-hmm. I'll be all right. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there and I realized, I'm like, okay, drinking and drugs and 33 years of not taking care of myself. I'm like, you know, and that's that little guy, that little French guy. I still say he was screwing with me, but I couldn't get those full 7 pull-ups. So at 34, I went between that year after my pity party, I was like full on training. And I showed up and these guys, they thought I was like 20, like they didn't know my age. And then, so I showed up there and I was just like, I'm doing one arm pull-ups. There's no way this guy's going to turn me down. So yeah, found myself there.
And when you say you showed up there, like it wasn't just, going down to your local recruiting center that you had to go to France.
Yeah. Directly.
The French Foreign Legion.
Yeah. The first time was, Fort de Nugent. So I showed up there and then didn't make it. The first time, second time was Marseille. And so the second time I'm like, I'm not letting these little recruiters, I'm going straight to, or it was Aubon. I'm going straight to the main place. Like I want the main people to see me. And so I ran from Marseille to Aubon with my 30-pound ruck, showed up at the door and I was just like, let's get this on. Right? He's like, did you run here? Cause I'm pouring sweat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pouring sweat. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, he showed that I was there before. And he's like, yeah. All right. He's like, how many pull-ups do you think you can do now? Like 15, 20, I don't know, something like that. And he looked and I was jacked, mm-hmm. really jacked. And he's like, I believe you. Like, go sit over there. And I had taken pre-workout just before this. I'm like, what? Come on now. So yeah, so he got in there and I blew their testing away. Like, but before I had gone, I used the Canadian Pathfinder's testing scores. Okay. So I wanted to score 100 on that before I went. And so I was in elite shape, and that's how you have to show up there. You have to be in elite shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And mentally, I thought I was probably in the best place in my life mentally at the time, but still there is so much damage that
a lot of baggage.
A lot of baggage. Yeah. I still took some of my old self with me.
I'm sure. I mean, that's natural, right?
Yeah. I wish I would have known that before I had gone.
So for our listeners that aren't familiar with the French Foreign Legion, it was a service that was created by, King Louis Philippe.
Yep.
In 1831-ish. Yep. Around there, and he basically needed a place to put all these rapscallions, these guys that are just making a mess.
Yeah. So it was like the immigration, they were trying to figure out ways to keep the immigration working, and the ones that were causing trouble or whatever it might be, they're just like, we got to filter these guys somehow and make them useful within our country, because if they're not going to leave, so they offered them citizenship by blooding in.
Yeah.
So you can become citizen, blood in.
And my understanding was originally, it's like, we don't care what you've done in the past. We don't care about your past.
Yeah.
We're going to ignore that.
Yeah.
And move forward.
Yeah. I guess it's a place for a second chance, but like in today's standards, they're not going to take you if you got like major drug charges,
sure.
Or you're like some child pedophile or something. Yeah. Like that. You're not coming. You're not getting in. We're trying to. They fight that stuff.
Sure, sure, sure.
If you get into a tussle with someone and, you know,
in the bar or something.
Yeah, like. And that sucks, because there's a lot of good men out in the world that are sitting in a prison cell somewhere because they screwed up. And now then they fall victim into the system. And now we've just wasted someone that could be serving in our military. Let's face it, we got guys out there that maybe don't operate so well in civilian settings, but we want these guys fighting for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
We're really primitive people when you think about it. Like, we come from, where we come from.
Coming up, more thought-provoking conversations on life, death, and the law right after this.
El Dorado broadcasters and this station congratulate the newest Yuma County Chamber of Commerce members. Special Olympics, Las Lavas, Gentiva Hospice, True Med Aesthetics, Fostering Hope, Yuma, Daniel Dorn, and Raw Aesthetics and Performance. If you'd like to find out how you can become a member and join all the benefits membership brings, email Ashley at yumachamber.org. That's Ashley at yumachamber.org or call 928-782-2567.
No young person should ever have to worry about having a safe place to sleep at night, or a warm meal to eat, or whether anyone cares about them.
But the reality is, 1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year.
But the good news is, there's an organization making a big difference. Covenant House.
For over 50 years, Covenant House has been helping youth in crisis and giving them the support and the tools they need to succeed in life.
I have no words to express how Covenant House changed my life. They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding.
When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges.
Covenant House is changing the lives of young people in cities across America.
To learn more, go to covenanthouse.org today.
If you're the owner and or operator of a local business and want to continue to hear the right talk, please consider advertising on KBLU. Your advertising dollars are the gasoline for the Clark, Kilmeade, Hannity, Beck engine. Without your support, the old 560 just won't roll. Reach out to like-minded folks, the patriots listening to this legendary radio station. When you do, you can invite new customers in and remind regulars to visit more often. And most importantly, keep the programming you love on 560 KBLU.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Take up that point. What do you guys think? Are you the pro-Legion mentality, the French Foreign Legion?
Never heard of it.
Okay. So, Adam, you explained it in the video, but it's a military service that previously was open. It was from France. Mm-hmm. They would have foreigners come in. And they weren't French citizens, but they wanted to be, or they had, you know, colored past where they needed to get away from something. So France would say, you can come be a part of this military group, which is a bunch of ragtag people, and they're tough, like tough dudes. And you serve for 5 years, and you're basically doing France's bidding, but you're not a French citizen, so you're getting all of these mission sets that are not what France wants to be known for doing.
Mm.
You know, they're going to send these non-French
dirty
people.
Work
the dirty work.
Yeah, want their name on. Okay.
Exactly. So you're doing that kind of stuff, and you serve for 5 years, and if you come out of it on the other end alive, you're rewarded with French citizenship. And then you can, you know, come into France, and you've proven yourself, basically. So that's kind of what he's getting at, is we've got people in our jail systems who probably need a second chance, or you've got the immigration crisis that's happened over the last several years.
And he was able to do that in France because he has French as a first language, so he can speak French.
Well, even if you're not French native, you need to learn French.
That's what I'm saying.
Through
but
your training.
He's got that in his pocket.
Yeah, like, so that helped him.
If I wanted to do that at 30 years old, not having spoke a lick of French, mm-hmm. it's like, good luck.
But. Yeah, well, people do it, I mean, historically all the time.
Really?
Yeah, because, oh, okay. Like, you're going to get, like, you got to know French. And if you don't pick it up fast, you're going to get hazed until you pick it up.
Okay.
So, like, that's the motivation. Like, you better learn your French.
But so they're okay as far as me getting, like, matriculated into the system mm-hmm. if I don't know French, but the guys that are there,
yeah.
You know,
French classes that okay. you're going into.
And is it only France that offers this, or has this become something more
I don't know any other country.
Widely known?
Yeah, I don't know
any other
yet.
Country
okay.
that does it.
I think it's an awesome idea.
Yeah. I think, I mean, because we do that today, like, in the Marine Corps, I knew a lot of Marines that were not citizens, and that's the reason they joined, is mm-hmm. a fast track to citizenship. After 2 years, I believe, they can start filing for their citizenship.
Yeah.
And so they become U.S. citizens before their contract's even up. And I knew a lot of great people from, you know, Haiti especially, a lot
really?
Of Haitian Marines mm-hmm. that would come in and become citizens. Great
it's
dudes.
Like the, it sounds like the hack, like the citizenship hack.
Pretty much.
If you were to, let's say, go to... You're a Mexican citizen. You go to Mexican university. Mm-hmm. You come in into the Marine Corps as an officer, couldn't you? With
no
a degree.
No, you need to be a citizen
to be an officer.
Yeah. So,
even though I have a degree,
right?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't
you got to start at the bottom for the citizenship part. Hmm?
Yeah. So you would enlist, and that would be
start from the bottom.
Start from the bottom, and then we have a lot of pathways in the Marine Corps where you can move from enlisted to officer. But there's definitely, you're not starting where you could have.
If you were a U.S. citizen going right in.
Right.
With a degree.
But yeah, I like the idea. The Legion, I think, is a cool idea, especially you got a lot of illegal immigrants here that are probably very good people and or, you know, very useful to society. And like, if you want a fast track in, I think that would be a great opportunity for them. That I'd be willing to give him as a voter.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know? So this guy does this. What's the outcome? He does really well in these services?
Let's see. We recorded this, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago or something?
Okay.
So it's like, I don't remember.
So that was, it's a great way. And I think there's, I'm pro-Legion. I think there should be institutions put like that for a lot of places.
Yeah, well, I mean,
transient.
So help me understand the jump from you've hit rock bottom in your early 30s, 30, 33.
Yeah.
You've had a glimpse of what God can do in your life. You've mm-hmm. felt that. He spoke to you in some way
mm-hmm.
At a car show when you went to that service with the Baptist preacher. But yeah, you still kind of spiraled out of control. You hit rock bottom. How did you go from rock bottom to the French Foreign Legion? How did that connection happen? How did it even come into your...
So 30 to 33 was real rough, real, real rough. And then, you're in and out of places all over. And then when you're living a life like that, you know, it's chaotic. And I come about this one guy, he was really straight up, just a skinhead, man. But a big, big one. Like 6'5", 350 pounds, super big guy. And I knew him through a mutual friend through the gym. And he's just like, he liked me for some reason. He's like, man, Marcus, he's like, I feel like you should still do something. And so we, he turned me on to the Legion, and I started watching these videos. And, you know, I was still searching, thinking people are going to come rescue me and help me. And all the people that I wanted to do that were the ones really predominantly that had caused all the trauma in my life.
Are you talking about family members?
Yeah, just anybody, like any trusted or loved person that I thought should be coming to help me out wasn't coming.
And you feel like at that time, do you feel like you had succumbed to some sort of victim mentality?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's
not my fault. I'm where I'm at. It's everybody else's.
Yeah. So like that was my come to Jesus moment, right? So when you start to reflect on your life, like I didn't realize I was such a victim, but I also was. I took accountability and ownership of my life before I went to the Legion, and that was before God, right? So I was just like, dude, if you're real, I need your help. I didn't grow up with you. I don't know you. So I need you to come save me, because what's going to happen here is on you. So I'm telling him, like, this is what's happened to me as a kid on up. This is what's happened to me. Your world's sick type thing. That's where I was at.
Yeah.
Right. Mentally. I'm like, this is, you're telling me, and you need to show me something, because I don't want to live here anymore. And the phone rang, man. I was watching Will Smith. I was watching The Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching that movie, and the phone rang, and I was like, oh, my God. And it was a buddy of mine that I was trying to reach out for a long time ago, and he's like, man, you're going to come live with me? I was like, dude, I have a game plan. I'm like, I had this full-on conversation with God, and he's just like, man, it's like, this is what the Bible's based on, dude. But I also said, you know, I said to God, too, I said, I understand that didn't happen to me, but I also accept where I'm at. I'm like, this is my life. All that happened, and I made choices unknowingly from my conditions on up. I said, but I'm a shitbag loser. I'm a loser now, and I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to do any. I don't know what to do anymore. So that was my come to Jesus moment, and it led me to the French Foreign Legion. Oh, man, it's a wild story, man.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So you're getting pumped up to go to the Legion, and then you eventually get there. So you tried twice. The first time, you had this little French guy that's like, you're not doing the push-ups right.
Yeah, we're going to call him Pepe.
Pepe?
No, Jacques.
Okay, Jacques, yeah. Did you ever see him again?
I never did see him again.
Is that right?
I still remember his little like beady eyes on me. Like he was like, yeah, I wrecked your life. I was like, no. At first, he did.
Yeah.
Right. He took that athletic thing from me, and now, but I didn't let that become my narrative. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I went to training to show up back up.
So the first time you tried to try out for the Legion, this guy, you feel like he raised the bar higher, probably, you know, for you rather than all the other people.
I think he just kind of, I think he put things into perspective for me, like where I had to start. I needed to look at my life a little bit more, like as in like shit, like my physical capability, this guy's saying is no good now. And
to that point, you're like, that's who I am.
That's what I was always good. And now I'm not good at sports. Now I'm not good enough physically to get in somewhere. And then, so I threw a pity party. And then afterwards I was just like, no, that's not how I'm going out. No way. And then I started going into this like ridiculous training where I had come across Goggins. I started listening to Jocko. So I started reading Extreme Ownership, Can't Hurt Me. And I was listening to Rogan's podcast. So I started like working on my mind at the time, and really because no one was showing me that. And my faith was starting to grow. I was praying more, starting to go to church. So I was working on my mind, body, and spirit. And then it ended up becoming to the point where it was just like a full on onslaught to beat this victim mentality in me and to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you got there, and then you come back second time around to the Legion tryout, let's say, and back to France to do this. And that time you show up, and that's what you're saying. Like when you showed up, you were jacked.
Did you want to do something on your phone?
I was gonna.
Because if it's not important, we're good to go.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. I'm all about professionalism.
Oh no, sorry. Yeah, my wife was calling. I'm like,
all right, so this is over.
Oh no! So, yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
We're good to go. Yeah, and anything I said, you can scratch off.
So. Oh, no, Marcus. Yeah, no worries.
No, I work with professionals.
No, she was calling. I was trying to mute it.
Yeah, no worries, man.
That's it.
No worries, yeah.
No, man, I'm so sorry
all
about
good,
that.
All good, brother. Yeah.
No, I should just turn it off.
I give you my undivided attention. Yeah, so I only work with professionals, brother.
No, I know because the camera angle all isn't
good,
on
man.
Me.
Yeah, God
Marcus,
bless.
Marcus, let me turn this off.
Yeah, no, it's all good, man. We're done.
Marcus, dude.
No, we're good.
I am so sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
She's calling, and I didn't want to. I didn't want it good, to
all
ring.
Good. All good, brother.
Yeah. Well, let me get you over to Bravo 6.
Oh, it's all right. I'll walk it.
Marcus, man. Seriously, I apologize.
Yeah, it's an insult.
So I'm so sorry.
So for your next interviewer, give him your undivided attention, because to me, when you pick up a phone, that's showing that you don't care about people. That so when I'm here, my phone wasn't put away. Was put away, right? It's all good.
Can I explain to you?
It's all good, my man. It's
Marcus,
all good.
Can I explain why?
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Can I explain to you why?
It's totally fine. It's
no. Can need, I
no
though?
Need, no
please.
Need to explain. No need to explain.
Marcus.
It's all good, man. All right. You have a good day. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I'm bummed, man. I want to get into some more stuff.
Yeah, it's all right, my man.
Marcus, seriously?
You can listen to me on a bigger platform.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, let me walk you out. Well, what do you think?
That was probably the most entertaining thing I've ever seen on our show. If we could have that once a week, I think our audience would skyrocket. I think that was like the perfect office awkward moment, you know, that it's like you feel awkward even though you know the people are acting. And I knew this was coming up because you told me about it, but the awkwardness.
Yeah, I think I chalk it up to a mixture of expectations. Like, you know, we know our audience here in Yuma, and we've got, you know, a great setup, more than the average person. But we're not Joe Rogan. And I think maybe his expectation was, this is what I'm about to go do. So when you're on your phone, his perspective is, this isn't professional, whereas from our perspective, it's like, no, like, that's life.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner & Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Wildlife around the globe needs help. And when you help protect them, you become a friend of the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
Thank you for being a friend.
Travel down the road and back again.
Your heart is true, you're a pal and a confidant.
Thank you for helping protect wildlife around the globe. Without you, there's no them. Learn more at sdzwa.org/friend.
You know your business needs to get in the digital game. Marketing on the internet, and maybe finally fixing your website. Don't let the world pass you by. Go to yumaadvertising.com. That's yumaadvertising.com. They're part of the Desert Southwest's largest media company, and their team has executed thousands of digital marketing campaigns across the country. Digital campaigns for businesses just like yours. Who knew they needed to get in the game? yumaadvertising.com. That's yumaadvertising.com. Don't let the world pass you by.
What is your healing power? Maybe your healing power is helping veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, depression, anxiety, or loneliness. Is your healing power a simple, heartfelt letter or being a volunteer? It is estimated that over 500,000 current warfighters will return from service diagnosed with PTSD, and 22 veterans will commit suicide every day. Our veterans have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. At HealVets.org, you can find out more about the healing power of pen pals, volunteers, therapy kits, and more. Discover your healing power at HealVets.org. Help heal veterans, together with you, has been helping one recovering veteran at a time. We are helping veterans heal together. What is your healing power? To find out about your power, visit HealVets.org. This PSA is sponsored by Help Heal Veterans.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.